Now you get to come inside the festival as we offer you some snippets from my sit-down interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson, probably the most famous astrophysicist since Carl Sagan. And yes, he was the guy from the Big Bang Theory. But most importantly, he's now hosting the Fox series Cosmos, which is currently airing on Fox and National Geographic. And also, fun fact, was brought to Fox by Seth MacFarlane, the Ted guy, the family guy, guy. Anyway, Mr. Tyson is a very interesting man who is far more intelligent than most of us, yet he has a complete skill at never coming across that way. He has a very gentle demeanor, he's a great sense of humor, and an absolute passion for the science. It was an honor and a privilege to do this, and I hope you guys enjoy the snippets that that I'm about to let you hear. Now, if you want to hear or read the full interview between him and his other fellow creators of Cosmos, then you can go to the website, go to thehollywoodoutsider.com, and the full interview is on the page. Due to the nature of the interview and the amount of background noise, these are not perfect conditions. Regardless, we hope you enjoyed this portion of my interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil, would you agree that there seems to be a cultural shift away from science the last couple of decades?
I agree that it had moved away in the 80s and into the 90s. But by several measures that I can offer you, I think the pendulum is shifting back, swinging back. And among them, just look at various signs. The number one sitcom on television, though it be caricature, portrays scientists and engineers in their daily lives. It's the number one show on television. Other successful television shows have been the show Numbers, which has mathematicians assisting FBI agents to solve problems. Other shows, CSI, which shows scientists as fully fleshed out characters that have loves and hates and children. And this is very different from how scientists were once portrayed as being lab coat donning automatons behind a table where you didn't care anything about them at all except the information they'd give you that was scientific. So an NCSI is in a CSI and NCSI. They're in multiple seasons and multiple incarnations. There's anecdotal evidence in universities that the rise in the majors of chemistry by women is traceable to the inspiration provided to them when they were in middle school and high school by watching CSI. CSI even has traveling exhibits that go to science museums where you solve a crime thinking about the physics of a dead body or the decomposition. Real interesting forensic analysis. Other little indicators. I have 1.7 million Twitter followers. What the hell's up with that? I feel like reminding people, do you realize I'm an astrophysicist? Do I have to remind you of that? Is that and why is that so? Why? So that tells me there's an underserved underbelly of curiosity, cosmic curiosity, that lurks within us all, or within many more people than had previously been imagined. And combine that with, if you look at the media rollout of Cosmos, it is being covered not only by the TV reporter who has to talk about the next show because that's their job. There's an almost a media celebration of the fact that Cosmos is arriving. And where is it arriving? It's arriving on Fox. Now, how's that for an unholy alliance, right? And, you know, we were as skeptical going to Fox as Fox was receiving us in that meeting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they looked at each other and tipped their heads the way a dog hears a high-pitched whistle. And we came to Fox via Seth MacFarlane, who is himself deeply interested in science.
Which surprised me.
Well, it surprised me because you only hear fart jokes, you know, from him. Yeah. But if you look carefully, you know, Stewie's time machine is rife with scientific
elements.
And In one episode, he went back to the Big Bang. And there was a glitch in the startup function of his time machine that actually is being credited for starting the universe in that episode. By the way. So Fox actually has one of the largest distribution chains of any network because they're part owners of National Geographic Television. And National Geographic has a worldwide marketplace for content. Most of it stays on National Geographic, but now that this is a National Geographic-worthy product of Fox, Fox will then farm it out to National Geographic. So combine all of this. I would claim we are entering an era where science is becoming mainstream. Have you seen how many followers or members the IFLS Facebook page has? Do you know about IFLS?
No.
Yeah, it stands for I fucking love science. And it's an internet sort of aggregator of cool science videos and cool things people are doing with science show up on that Facebook page. And that has something like 8 or 9 million, probably 10 by now, 10 million likes. So I don't agree with you that today science is receding. I think science is recovering, and recovering in a way that may never look back.
Yeah.
And that tells me that Cosmos has landed on fertile territory, on fertile ground.
When you're trying to make the show and you want it to appeal to a broader audience, how do you tweak your presentation to appeal
to
those?
Okay. I don't have to.
How do you approach it then?
Because the universe is fundamentally interesting and fundamentally entertaining and fundamentally a source of wisdom and insight and insight and perspective. So you will see from the episodes that we don't nothing's dumbed down, because people know if you're dumbing something down. And once they figure it out, they know that you think you're above them, that you have to dumb it down. The universe, when told properly, needs no dumbing down at all. And what helps us is the vocabulary, the visual vocabulary available to us, the visual effects. There's animations when we retell the historical stories. There's the recreated cosmic phenomena. There's just me speaking to camera. All of these provide the diversity of our visual vocabulary. There's me on the ship of the imagination, me on the cosmic calendar. So these all have flavor interest for the viewer, where we'd like to think that it keeps your attention the whole way. And again, I don't think of it as trying to compromise. We have access to stunning visual effects, so let's use it. Early versions of the script had me explaining everything. Like, well, this is the sun, and it's really hot, and we're descending into it. Now, we don't need to explain it, because the visual effects get you there emotionally. So that at the end of the day, the show will actually influence you intellectually, emotionally, and I think even a little bit spiritually, when you are steeped in the wonder of the universe.
That's going to do it for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. The next time you go to a theater, if they sell it, buy popcorn.